Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, The Purpose of God's Presence, from the series Exodus, and shows you how God's presence calls us to tear down every idol and give Him our full allegiance. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. And be sure to sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly email devotion to receive encouragement right in your inbox. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
As we've been in the book of Exodus, last week we talked about one of my favorite topics, which is the presence of the Lord. And we talked about how important it was for us to posture ourselves rightly before Him, how we needed to be of a mindset of, Lord, change me, how we had to commit time, how we had to be devoted to the relationship, how we had to have a hunger for worship. And all of those things are true, but we need to understand if God does manifest Himself or He does come through, what's the purpose of God doing that? Why would God want to bother with His manifest presence in and through us in the world? We need to understand that there's benefit to us and there's purposes of God for why He wants to do that. From time to time, you will hear stories where you'll hear people talk about revival breaking out over here or over there, or you should have heard this speaker, or you should have been at that camp, or if only you heard that worship team. God's presence was all over that place. And I believe that that's true. Very often when people speak that way, there's a presence of God that comes through anointed preaching, through anointed worship, through anointed camps, that God's presence is available. But we have to ask ourselves, what was His purpose for manifesting His presence among us? In other words, if I'm going to spend the time disciplining myself to be in front of the Lord to ask Him to change me, and I'm going to commit my time to that, and I'm going to be devoted to that relationship, and I'm going to hunger for the worship of God, what's the purpose in all that? Like, how do I benefit from that? And what is God going to accomplish in and through that? And if you've ever wanted to know that, I believe that God has a word for you today. God wants you to know His purposes for manifesting His presence in and through you. God wants you to know His purposes for manifesting His presence in and among us. And to do that today, I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. We're going to start in verse 10 today. And let me just tell you this, if Brave Church is your home church, I want to encourage you this week to read through chapters 35 through 40 as we look on doing a flyby at the end of this book next week, Lord willing. And I want you to be very familiar with those chapters, chapters 35 through 40 in the book of Exodus for next week. But as you're turning to Exodus 34:10, you'll remember what happened last week. You remember what happened last week. Moses was pleading with the Lord for His presence. He said, unless You go with us, don't even send me. Don't send us. Because isn't it true, Lord, that it's Your presence that makes us distinct? Isn't it true today that it's the presence of the Lord working in through us that makes us distinct? There's nothing distinct about us as individuals. The only thing that makes us distinct is the presence of the Lord. So He's pleading with the Lord. He's begging the Lord. He's saying, please be with us. Please go with us. We want You. We only want You. He's begging the Lord to go. And the Lord says, okay, I'll go. And He tells Moses, get two new stone tablets, because Moses had symbolically thrown the law down to show the people who had been worshiping a molten calf, to show them you've broken God's commandments, you've broken His law. This is symbolic of what you've done. And God being so gracious and God being so merciful, even though God punishes sin, even though God doesn't change His standard, says, get two new tablets, come up and see me. I will write my law again for my people. And this is where the story picks up. Moses is going to go back up to God, spend another 40 days with Him. And in verse 10, we see him hearing the Lord when he gets back up into His presence. And we're going to talk about three truths about the presence of God for what His purpose is for His presence. In other words, if His presence is showing up somewhere, He has three distinct purposes for why He's bringing His presence into a situation. And the first is this, that God's presence empowers allegiance to the worship of God. God's presence empowers allegiance to the worship of God. Notice verse 10. Then God said, he's talking to Moses, behold, I'm going to make a covenant. That's God saying, I'm going to make a promise and I'm going to be true to my promise. Before all your people, I will perform miracles which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations, and all the people among whom you live will see the working of the Lord, for it is a fearful thing that I am going to perform with you. God tells Moses that through the nation of Israel, he is going to do some things that he's never ever done before. Now, why is that? Because our God is dynamic. Our God is awesome. Our God is unlike any other God. Our God is living and active. When we are worshiping God, we are not worshiping some dead figure or figurine that's sitting on a throne. We are worshiping the living God who is ruling and reigning over the universe. And as he is being worshiped, he is saying he's going to do something distinct with his people, which at this time is the nation of Israel. He's going to do something special with them. I still believe God is going to do something special with the nation of Israel. And we can't just say, well, the church has replaced Israel, because God's still doing some distinct things with Israel. But make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ has established his church. And his word tells us that he is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ever think, ask, or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Here's what this means. God wants to do things in and through you, and God wants to do things in and through his church that are distinct and unlike anything else he's ever done. Sometimes we think of God like, I've seen you do that. I read about that in the Bible. Maybe you do that again. I believe God wants to do new things all the time. I believe our God is alive and he wants to move in new and fresh ways. And he's saying, I'm making you a promise. I'm going to do this. And then he tells him, when I do what I'm going to do through this nation, other nations are going to be terrified. Why? Because God is not only a God of comfort and a God of love, which he is, but God is the holy, terrifying God of the universe. And when he moves and people see that he moves, non-believers are scared of who he is. So this is what he tells him. He tells Moses, he goes, go tell your people, I'm going with you, and I'm about ready to do some things that have never been done before on planet Earth, and I'm going to perform them with you, and it will be a fearful thing that I'm going to do. Now watch this. Here's your part, verses 10 and 11 and 12. Be sure to observe, that means pay attention, be careful to obey what I am commanding you this day. Behold, I am going to drive out the Amorite before you, and the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Here's what he says. I made a promise to you. I made a promise to your forefather, Abraham. I will continue through on my promise because I'm always true to what I say I'm going to do. I am always true to my word. I promised that I would give you the land. This land is currently being occupied by a lot of other nations. I'm telling you, I'm the one that's going to go before you. I'm the one that's going to drive them out. I'm the one that's going to make it possible. And when you see that I've done that, you'll know how awesome and terrifying that I am. When God works in our life, oftentimes as a believer, when we come to Christ, we begin to hear little whispers of the Holy Spirit of how uniquely wired we are and what are some of the things God might do. But when we look out on the broad landscape of life, sometimes we ask ourselves the question, how's that ever going to happen? I don't see how that is ever going to work out. I mean, it seems like the circumstances, situations, and people that are involved in that, there's not room for the vision that you've given me to work itself out. And here's what God says, I'm going to make room for it. I'm the one that's going to make it happen. If I'm telling you I'm going to do something, I am faithful. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. I'm going to do it. You'll need to walk by faith until you see it done. So why is God telling them this? We read the end of the story and we know that God takes them into the promised land. We read the end of the story and we know that God was with them and destroying all the nations. But we're reading before that story happened. We're hearing about what God's going to do. And it's one thing to see what God has done and then say, oh yeah, I totally believe. It's another thing to say, God said it, I can't see it, but I'm gonna believe it and I'm gonna walk into it. That's what he's telling them. He's like, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna drive out these nations before you. These are just some of the nations I'm gonna drive out. So be careful that you observe and obey everything that I'm about ready to tell you. Verse 12, watch yourself. That means pay attention to your own actions, that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, or it will become a snare in your midst. What is he saying? Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He is saying, I'm the only one that's worthy of all your allegiance. I am the only one that's worthy of all your worship. And he said, in the land I'm going to take you into, there will be temptation for you to worship something other or someone other than me. There'll be a temptation to take some of their gods and blend them with me and call that worship. He says this, I'm God, I'm the only one that's worthy of worship, and I want all of your worship. Now, why so much talk in the Bible about worship? Can I tell you why? Because it's what we as human beings were designed and created to do. Believers, we are designed and created to worship the God of the universe. That's what everybody's designed for. But if you don't wholeheartedly worship the God of the universe, you will find someone or something to worship. Now that sounds all Sunday theological. Yeah, preach it, brother, I know. So let's make it personal. What is worship? Worship is what you dedicate your time, your focus, your energy, your initiatives, your money, your thoughts, and all your attention to. That's your worship.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, The Purpose of God's Presence, from the series Exodus, showing you how God's presence calls us to tear down every idol and give him our full allegiance. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, make prayer a priority in 2025 with the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make the discipline of prayer a habit in your life. We'll send you the journal as thanks for your gift to support Brave today. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message and listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
Worship is what you dedicate your time, your focus, your energy, your initiatives, your money, your thoughts, and all your attention to. That's your worship. That's your worship. What did you worship this week? Who did you worship this week? Where did your worship go this week? You say, well, I'm not quite sure. If you're married, ask your spouse, where and who do you think I worship? If you have children, ask them, who do you think I worship? If you have friends, ask them, who do you think I worship? I'll tell you who you worship. You give me a look at your bank statement, I'll tell you who you worship. You give me a look at your calendar, I'll tell you who you worship. I spend time, I get conversation with you, I'll tell you who you worship. Those are indicative of your worship. Here's what God says. Worship me. I'm the only one that's worthy of your worship. I'm the only one who can satisfy, and I'm the only one on the universe that's worthy of all your worship. Now, was that just for Israel? Can I just tell you this? It's true today too. Jesus Christ is the only one worthy of all of your allegiance. And there are so many temptations and so many distractions to keep you from giving God the fullness of all of your worship. So what does he say to do with some of these other gods in the culture? Notice what he goes on to say in verse 13. But rather you are to tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and cut down their asherim, which were the poles that they used for worship. For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Now what does it mean that God's jealous? I thought jealousy was a sin. Jealous means this. I'm jealous for your worship. I'm yearning after your attention. I'm God and I created you and I know you and I love you. And I'm jealous for you to give back to me what I rightly deserve because I'm perfect. You're not. I'm awesome. You're not. I'm loving. You're not. I'm great. You're not. I'm jealous of you wanting to recognize me for all that I am. That's what the Lord is saying. So he's saying, when you get into a culture that's going to have other tempting gods, not only avoid them, not only pretend they don't exist, what does he say? Tear them down. Smash them to the ground. Don't have any other god in the culture except me. That sounds hurtful, doesn't it? I mean, in our world of tolerance, where the world is tolerant about everything except for Jesus, that doesn't sound very tolerant. But think about all of the different gods we have in our culture. We serve a God of sports. We serve a God of hedonism. We serve a God of money. We serve a God of success. We serve a God of relationships. We serve a God of popularity. We serve all these different gods. And then we come to church and say, okay, I serve you too. God wants your whole allegiance. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not share my glory with others or give my praise to graven images. I want wholehearted, 100% allegiance. She said, what's that look like? It means God's presence. When God's presence is showing up in your life, first and foremost, it's to get your attention that he's the one that's worthy of all your heart's desires, of your mind, of your will, of everything else, that Jesus Christ wants to be center. That's why God's presence shows up. God's presence shows up so that you will worship him more. And worship doesn't mean just singing songs. And worship doesn't only mean coming to church. Worship is my daily, ongoing lifestyle of who I'm preferencing with everything that I am. So there's always a way, no matter how advanced you are in your worship, to worship him even more. Worship is central to why God's presence shows up. Now, we've talked about this. God is everywhere. Psalm 139 says there's nowhere we can go that God isn't. He's everywhere. But there are times where God manifests his presence and shows up. Sometimes it happens in church. You're listening to a sermon and the preacher is preaching and he's preaching the word, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is preaching to you in your heart. You're not even listening to the words that the preacher's saying because the Holy Spirit is using the word to speak directly to you. Sometimes you're worshiping with a song and the Holy Spirit's ministering directly to you. Sometimes you're praying, the Holy Spirit's ministering directly to you. Sometimes you're just sitting there like, I don't even know what's going on, but God's presence is so strong. He's ministering to you for the purpose of that you would see that he's worthy of all your praise and he's jealous for you. He yearns for you. He wants your worship. He wants your attention. He wants you to know that he created you, that he loved you enough to send Jesus for you. His own son was slaughtered on a cross for you, who died. He rose from the dead for you. He wants to offer life to you. He loves you. He's wanting it to be reciprocated. That's what worship is. It's you living your life knowing how thankful you are for the glory of God and all the wonders that he has done for you. And he says, Tear down their gods. Don't listen to them. Don't participate. Don't show love to them. I mean, we live in a culture where we're afraid to talk about the culture because that's mean. Friends, I believe in two genders because the Bible teaches two genders. I'll tell you, on Pride Month, I believe that God created male and female and there are no other genders. I'll tell you that. And I'll tell you that why he created those two genders was for marriage. And the reason he created for marriage is because he wanted to have godly offspring. And the reason he wanted to have godly offspring is so that he would be worshiped from generation to generation to generation. And we can stand in church and clap because we as Christians, we all believe there are only two genders. We all know that. Pastor Jeff, you said it all the time. We're good. Yeah, we're good. I'm telling the non-believers there's only two genders. And I love you enough to tell you there are only two genders because the Bible makes clear that no practicing homosexual will enter the kingdom of God. And I love you enough because I don't want you to go to hell that you should repent and you should trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not because I don't like you, but because I love you, I'm telling you this. That's what God was saying to do in the culture. In a culture where we hate kids and we hate the unborn and we offer them as a sacrifice, in the same way that when Moses was being raised up as a deliverer, they were killing all the boys under the age of two. In the same way when Jesus was being raised up, they killed all the boys under the age of two. The same way that God is raising up deliverers in our generation and we're killing all the babies in our culture. You can't call a nation Christian that kills all the infants. And that's not just a church speak. That's for the culture to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord and we want to worship you. So we're not afraid to tear down that idol to child sacrifice for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one who created life, and that's wrong. That's what he's saying to do. And I knew I was only gonna get a golf clap because many of you think that's the pastor's job to preach against. I'm not preaching against, I'm preaching for what is true. And if we don't take what's true to the culture, then how will the culture ever change? If we only sit in little huddles in the church and say, well, we all believe this, but those people out there don't, let's pray for them. Here's what I would say. Let's believe it. Let's pray for them. And let's go tell them why they need to repent and trust Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior and do something about it. That's what the gospel would teach. It's worship. It aligns our worship. He says, if you don't do that, verse 15 says what might happen. Otherwise, you might make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they would play the harlot with their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and someone might invite you to eat his sacrifice, and you might take some of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters might play the harlot with their gods and cause your sons also to play the harlot with their gods. What's he saying? If you don't destroy and point out the false gods in your culture, you'll probably partner with them. And when you partner with them, then you're not serving me anymore. I am the Lord. I don't have a partnership. You can't worship sports and worship God and call it Christian. You can't worship America and worship God and call it Christian. You can't worship money and worship God and call it Christian. You can only worship God. There is no other way to worship. So he says, tear it all down. And if you don't, you'll end up partnering with people that don't love me. You'll give them as daughters to your sons. They'll intermarry. And when you have a Christian that marries a non-Christian, you know what kind of marriage you have? You have a non-Christian marriage. And then you have non-Christian offspring. And then you don't have generations of faithfulness and fruitfulness. He says, my worship is so important. I show up with my presence so that you will know that I'm worthy of all your praise. That's what he says. And worship is awesome. The true worship of God when his presence comes is awesome. One of the first times I ever had an experience with the presence of God, I was serving at a charismatic church when I was in seminary for a weekend. I'd never really been in a charismatic church. I'd heard things about charismatic churches. I'd heard there were gonna be like healings. I'd heard there might be deliverance. I heard people spoke in tongues. I knew nothing about any of those things. And I was journaling the night before, and I was writing in my journal like, Lord, how come I don't speak in tongues yet? And how come I've never really seen this stuff? And Lord, why are you holding out on me? Am I missing something? That was my prayer the night before. The next day, there were about 17 of us that were gonna be ministering to kids throughout the weekend. And the guy that was the speaker got up and he said, before you guys meet the kids tonight, I wanna minister to you now. I thought that meant he was gonna speak for a half an hour or something. And next thing I know, all I remember, somebody started strumming on the guitar, and it was as if in this room, a heavy cloud came on us and just vroom. I almost began to weep. I'm like, what in the world is going on? What did I walk into? I'd never experienced anything like this in my life. There were stairs around the platform of the worship center, which we were in, which is about a room this size. And I went up and sat on them. And as he began to lay hands on people and pray for them, and I was watching and I couldn't even hear what he was saying, I just began weeping. I mean, I was like tearing up. And I was asking the Lord, what is this? What's going on? And I was about the third person, and he kind of pointed at me, and he walked over to me, and he walked behind me. And when he put his hands on my shoulders, I began to sob. Like not, I mean like sob. Uncontrollable snot coming out of my nose, sob. But I felt the presence of the Lord so strong. And this guy whispers in my ear, and he says, stop looking for signs and wonders. You'll cast out demons, you will heal people, you'll see the dead rise, but rejoice because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then he went on to tell me about planting churches and all these other things, and everything was resonating with my heart. My heart was totally warm. I'm sobbing. I'm like, how does this guy know me? When that experience was done, I didn't want to get to know that guy better. I didn't want the gifts he had. You know what I wanted? I wanted to worship Jesus even more because it was a touch from heaven. Amen. God gives gifts in the church, and God shows his presence in the church, not so that we'll look for people and not so we'll worship people or not so we can learn how to do things. It's so that we can see how alive and real God is. And do you realize when we get to heaven, what we get to experience? The ongoing, forever, eternal presence of the Lord. If your heart does not yearn for that, you don't know him well enough yet. The great pastor A.W. Tozer from a generation ago said it like this. He said, I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored or turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. So all we're going to do is like worship. That's what we're going to do. We're going to worship. It's going to be the most filling experience that we've ever had that's ongoing forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Purpose of God's Presence, from the series Exodus, showing you how God's presence calls us to tear down every idol and give him our full allegiance. Before we let you go, we want to remind you to request your copy of the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, designed to help you make prayer a daily habit this year when you give a gift to support Brave. Visit PastorJeff.com to give and request your copy. That's PastorJeff.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thank you again for joining us today.